Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we were actually going to share information with you today about a little known statement that came out from the Trump State Department last Thursday to the 9 refugee placement agencies that are placing refugees. And I've got to tell you, it is not good news because the information that was delivered that occurred in the New York Times on Friday and has now found its way a little bit, but was buried in the news over the weekend, says that this administration at this point in time is going to reopen the floodgates for Muslim refugees at a rate that will surpass what even happened under Barack Obama. I was going to start with that today. We were going to go into that, but I don't think we're going to. So I'm going to have to bait you on that. But this is an issue, ladies and gentlemen. But when we hear and we see what those of you who catch Fox News on this program and you heard what was just said, Dave Kistler, who's with me, you and I have got to address this matter of this very, very sick event that Kathy Griffin did when she held up and thought was so funny, held up the what appeared to be the bloodied head of Donald Trump. Dave, I want to get your comments on that in just a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where we're going to go. We have our special guest today, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We are going to talk about this issue because it's going to tie right in with where we're going to go with him in segment two. We're going to talk about Ramadan, which started on Saturday, May the 27th, and goes for a month. We're going to talk about Ramadan and their beheading, what that means, why they started it, and where it's going to go. We're going to then talk about Iran. Iran's on the move. 150,000 troops right up there against on the border of a U.S. training camp in Syria. Something is happening, and we'll tie into that what may be coming out in short time. A new nation perhaps being formed right there in the Middle East. You heard it right. That may happen. And then we're going to conclude in segment four by going to Jimmy and ask his input from a prophetical perspective. What is the connection of China and the Middle East, China and Israel is specifically, and how this whole thing is tied together? So with that, let me introduce or say this is Sam Rohr, Staying in a Gap Today, and I'm going to be joined by Dave Kistler. Gary Dahl is gone for about 10 days in a trip to Africa. And so it's going to be Dave and I holding down the fort here. And with that, I thank you for being with us today. We have a lot to go over. Dave, I'm going to go right to you right off. This issue here with Kathy Griffin, we've got to comment on it. I wasn't going to, but we have to. This is just astounding. When I see hear a news article that says 11-year-old Barron Trump, this 11-year-old son of the president and Melania, when he, this is what this is saying, that he actually thought that the severed head photo, which I'm sure people have seen, he actually thought it was real. Dave, your thoughts?
Sam, I don't even know where to go. Can I say this? It does look very real. If you've seen the picture, you know that it does. It is graphic. It is gross. It is the height of desensitization on the part of Kathy Griffin. It's the height of being hate-filled. It's anti-American. It's treasonous. And to be honest with you, Sam, this really is probably punishable by law. The fact that she is holding this up, doing this, is it a suggestion? Is it an act of stating intent on her part? I mean, what is this all about? It's absolutely inexcusable. And Sam, it's also this. It reveals the incredibly ignorant mindset that Kathy Griffin and much of America has with respect to Islam, what we're going to talk about, Ramadan coming up in the latter part of the program. Sam, it's a lot of things. It's inexcusable at the very least.
And Dave, I'm looking here now on some front page articles about this. Interesting here. Here's one that says, did she break the law? Well, that's a question you just raised. I think she did. And it is punishable, and it should be. And the FBI, Secret Service, are at least doing some checking. She came back and said, oh, I apologize. I didn't really think about this. Well, she took a long time in setting up for the shoot. She had plenty of time to think about it, Dave. But then here's another one. I think this is interesting. A man is arrested with guns and ammo at the Trump Hotel in D.C. Just happened. Now, I wonder, Dave, did she prompt that? Here's another one. Satan worshipers disavow Kathy Griffin after grotesque Trump behead. That's a headline. Satan worshipers. Well, yeah, this is the kind of thing that is, Dave. That kind of atrocity and evil is the kind of thing that Satan worshipers do, and evil. That is evil in every regard.
Sam, there's no other way to describe it than it is the epitome of pure evil. This lady, Kathy Griffin, she is known for her, you know, egregious violations of just human dignity with her humor. But this is beyond the pale. It is over the bar for her to do something like this. And if this is not a hate crime, Sam, I don't know what is. We talk about hate crime. This is beyond anything we have ever seen done anywhere by any media personality, by any Hollywood actor or actress, certainly any quote-unquote comedian. This is beyond the pale, and she should be punished by the law. That is my opinion, Sam. I don't even know what to say. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the picture. Sam, this is as dehumanizing as anything could possibly be, and how she can get on TV and issue what appears to be a fake apology, it's disgusting.
Yeah, fake apology is what I would say as well. This is the kind of thing that doesn't happen without a great deal of thought. And if somebody
Correct.
Who has been in front of people before and platform of folks say, well, you know, I just happen to have this idea and I thought I wanted to do it. Dave, doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. When I look at that, it looks just like the ISIS films that come out of the Middle East.
Precisely, Sam. You are hitting the nail so squarely on the head. Anyone that's had the unfortunate responsibility, and I'm going to use those terms because I have, to watch one or two or three of those videos, this looks precisely like what they do. So it makes me wonder, where did she get her idea to do this? Where did that come from? Is that just coming from her perverted sick mind, or did she have some additional motivation because of something maybe we don't know about? I don't know, Sam, but it's just inhumane. It's inexcusable.
Ladies and gentlemen, we share this right now because we have to comment on it. But all I can say is that this is the kind of thing that happens when a culture and when a people reject God, reject the God of the Bible, reject absolute truth, because ultimately what we know from Scripture is they end up doing what they believe to be right in their own eyes. Obviously, Kathy Griffin felt this was right in her own eyes. But in the eyes of God, in the eyes of anyone who have any moral decency, it is an atrocity that should be punished, and it is connected with evil thinking. And that's going to be what I'm going to set up the next segment. We're going to bring in Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and we're going to go to the issue of Ramadan, which is exactly this kind of thing. We're going to get a little bit of history from Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and we're going to walk then into what's happening relative to that issue. Why did it start? What is to be expected, and shall we expect a whole lot more evil during this month, or is it a time of peace for Muslims? We'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr and David Kistler, special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being with us today. We have a full program, and we're going to move now to the Middle East, but we're going to focus on a particular holiday. They actually believe that. A holiday, holy day. Interesting. That's called Ramadan in the Islamic world, and it started on Saturday, the 27th of May. It goes for a month. If you look it up on some documents, it'll say that Ramadan is the month to prepare man by teaching him discipline and self-control. Yeah, before I bring in Dr. Jimmy DeYoung to comment and to give us some more of this background, I have to tell you, I submit that for jihadist Muslims, self-control must be equivalent to normal people's out of control, since so many atrocities are done during Ramadan. But we're going to find out what that is. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, thanks for being with us today. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be along with you, Sam. And boy, what a event you guys reported on in the first 15 minutes of the broadcast, but leads what we call in radio a segue right into what we're going to be talking about right now.
Well, that's why you are here, because I want you to talk to us about this matter of Ramadan. It was obviously kicked off. We're into the middle of it here. Let's start at the bottom and kind of build up first. What's the history of Ramadan? When did it start? If you can tell us that, why is it such a holy month to the Muslim world?
Well, first of all, you've got to remember the calendar for the Islamic peoples, as is the same case with the Jewish people, is following the lunar system, not the solar system. And so they have 12 months of 30 days in each month. Now, one of those months in the 12-month calendar for Islam would be Ramadan. And it's a 30-day fast. Ramadan itself is a 30-day fast to honor the giving of the Quran to Muhammad. Traditionally, Muhammad, back in 610 A.D., got the Quran, and actually, if you can believe this, got the Quran from the Archangel Gabriel. Gabriel, of course, is known in the Bible. He's the one that went to the Virgin Mary there in Nazareth to tell her that she was going to be able to birth God himself, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And so Gabriel is the one supposedly who met with Muhammad in a cave and gave him the Quran, and that was during the month of Ramadan. The Muslims will fast during the daylight hours, and then they will party basically at night. Right after the fast, they break the fast when the sun goes down. They go into a large meal at that time, and it's a ritual that they go through. And prior to entering the fast at daybreak in the morning, they wake up earlier than daybreak, and they have their meal. And then throughout that time of the daylight hours, they're not allowed to eat anything, drink anything. If they smoke, they're not allowed to do that, not allowed to have any sexual activities. And it seems like it was defined, what you told us just a moment ago, to help the Muslim world discipline themselves, bring their bodies under control, which is not a bad thing, but that's not the way the Muslim world has defined Ramadan. It has to be a very tense time because people are actually going through 30 days of fasting during the daylight hours. I've endeavored to do some fasts, for myself, and not necessarily for a spiritual result, but for physical results, it's good to be able to do that. I find it very difficult to do, but doing it for the entire daylight hours, it makes it very tense for the Muslim world. By observing the 30-day fast, Sam, it shows the Muslims' commitment to the Quran and every aspect of the Quran. But it also allows for a time of activity that would be a part of the Islamic faith, which includes jihad. Now, the word jihad is not just simply a struggle. Jihad is used with the phrase Islamic jihad, and that is talking about a holy war that would be involved in spreading the faith of the Islamic world. So Ramadan, as you are committing to what the Quran tells you to do, given by the angel Gabriel supposedly to Muhammad and then written down, is going to dictate how you live your daily life. Islamic State has decided that, and they're going to take the strictest interpretation of the Quran. And remember that when the Quran was first given, there were some verses who have been abrogated by the later verses that were given to Muhammad. It was over a number of years that the entire Quran was given. The first verses seem to be pretty mild as it relates to relationship with other religions in the world. But the later in the life of Muhammad it came, the giving of the Quran was more intense in what they're supposed to do. And Islamic State has taken this to mean that this is the time when they are to attack infidels. Now, an infidel is any person who may not be a Muslim. And we're talking about basically Jews and Christians. And remember, in the Middle East, in the Islamic world, they consider everybody that's not a Muslim nor a Jew a Christian. They don't break it down to are they true Bible-believing born-again Christians. Other than a Muslim or a Jew, then you have to be a Christian. And so Ramadan, as far as Islamic State is concerned, is a month of jihad. And even Muslims to attack Muslims in Afghanistan, just within the last 24 hours, over 80 people killed with an attack by a Muslim suicide bomber on another Muslim. You got to remember also there's a tradition as it relates to the Islamic world referring to some Muslims as hypocrites. They're not truly Muslims. They don't take time to honor Ramadan and honor the giving of the Quran. They simply live their life and they think that the Islamic faith helps them to be some type of religious person when it's not really the truth if they don't abide by the pillars of the faith. And one of those pillars, one thing to be a true Muslim is you have to honor Ramadan.
So Jimmy, let me jump in and ask you a quick question because I want to hitchhike off of something you said there. Two questions, really. Right before the advent of Ramadan this particular year, we had this terror attack over in Manchester, England. Okay, so that preceded the Ramadan by just, a day or two. Is that unique? Is there something of significance to that? And then let me ask a broader question. In Islamic history, has the month of Ramadan generally been a peaceful time for Israel, or has it been a time of great hostility?
Well, the first part of the question, Dave, has to deal with the fact of sacrificing a human body. We know that that was a suicide bomber who perpetrated there in Manchester, England, that attack on the concert that was going on. Whether it was in the month of Ramadan or not, you've got to recognize Ramadan, as you said, just hours away. And so to sacrifice during the month of Ramadan is something very valuable, very special to the Islamic people, the ones that are going to honor Ramadan. And you've got to also remember, we're talking about maybe they tell us about 1.7 billion Muslims in the world. Those, many of them are hypocrites, they're agnostic, they're atheists, they're not true Muslims. There's only about 350 million that are true Muslims. And somebody said, well, that's not many Muslims. No, that's the population of the United States of America. But as it relates to Israel, Ramadan is always a month when the Israeli Defense Force, the Israeli security services are on high alert. Because they understand you're talking about radical Islamists. When you look at Hamas in the Gaza Strip, these are people who, by the way, with the new election in Iran, have now warmed up the relationship between the Iranians, which, of course, are the dedicated Islamists willing to give their lives in suicide bombings, etc. But Ramadan in Israel has always been, and they're looking for it to be happening even this month now, a very terrible time when the Islamic world will perpetrate some type of a terrorist attack on the Jewish people.
Well, Dave and Jimmy, this is very interesting. I'm looking at here something, ladies and gentlemen. It's a map that I recently found. And if you want, I'm going to tell you where to go to look at it. It's just look up story maps, just like telling a story, storymaps.esri.com, storymaps.esri.com. And that'll give you some options there, but you can go in, and actually this is a real live, in real time, tracking of terrorist activities around the world. Maps of the world, little dots on it, you can find where it is, you can, and it identifies whether that's Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, Islamic State, PKK, Taliban, others, and where they have occurred. So the events that we've talked about, the one there in Egypt or Manchester, the one today, this morning in Kabul, Afghanistan, it's all on here with the number of fatalities and who claims credit for it. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, there's one every day. Almost every day there are many occurring around the world. I share this with you so you can get a sense of what evil does and the effect of an evil ideology, what it does and how it views life. From where we started with Kathy Griffin and what her holding up what appeared to be the severed head of our president, to atrocities committed in the name of jihad and Muhammad around the world nearly daily, or possibly increasing even in this month of Ramadan. It's not accidental, ladies and gentlemen. It stems from an ideology that's twisted and evil. You have to understand where it comes from. If we don't, we'll never be able to treat it. So let it stand as that it is at the moment. When we come back after the news here in this break, we're going to pick up again with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We're going to go to, the Middle East. We're going to talk about the Middle East and a changing landscape. Iran on the move and a possible new nation. We'll talk about that when we come back right after these announcements.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you are just joining Stand in the Gap Today, perhaps you're having lunch and you're out and you just turned on your radio or however it is you're listening to us and you're just joining us. This is Stand in the Gap Today. We've had a great program thus far and a lot more to happen here in this last half hour. If you are listening on your own radio live, I want you to know that you can also listen conveniently live off of an app, off of your iPhone, and we would encourage you to download our new app. A lot of people are, it's a lot of fantastic responses, very easy, very convenient. You can do it, free app, just by go to your iPhone or your Android and go to your app store and just put in the phrase Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network, either one, and you can download that. That way then we can text you just a short alert in the morning about 10 o'clock about what the theme is going to be, a guest that we'll have on, and when the podcast is up in the afternoon, those kinds of things. You can find all the archives right there and a whole lot more. You can participate with us financially. Many are. We thank you for that. It's very critical. We are a ministry. We don't have big funders behind us. This is a ministry of the American Pastors Network, and what we're doing because we believe that God has called us to proclaim truth in a public square. We love what we hear from you, but we need your help to stand with us. So you can do that easily off our website or go to the app or go to the website at standinthegapradio.com. Now, with that, let me get right back here to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. In the Middle East, a lot's happening. Headlines, again, evidencing the fact that there's change. ISIS is being driven out of Iraq and Syria in some parts, and with that, the hole that they are now leaving are being filled by some other people, other countries. And we want to know what's actually happening. And I'm going to set this up by going here. Last day or two, One of the moves appears to be made is being made by Iran. They allegedly have 150,000 Iranian troops on the border of Syria, right next to a U.S. training base there. Captain Davis of the Pentagon said yesterday, quote, "We continue to see an amassing of forces, and we're concerned about that. These patrols are unacceptable, and they threaten our coalition forces operating within the deconfliction zones," he said, adding that American forces would defend themselves should the regime, Iran regime change troops, attempt to breach the zone. Jimmy, according to your sources, what's Iran up to? 150,000 troops is no small gathering of people. It sounds like war to me.
Sounds like war to me as well, Sam. And remember, that zone that you just referred to would be the safe zones that the Russian leadership under Vladimir Putin, along with Bashar Assad, the leader of Syria, have put in place. These will be locations where supposedly even the opposition is going to be protected from attacks. And they're trying to have these safe zones so they can work ultimately towards a ceasefire between the opposition forces of the radical Islamist element there in the Middle East to take down Bashar Assad. Now, one of the main players in that entire group that's standing in the battle there in that civil war, over 6 years in the making, over 500,000 Syrians killed, was have to be Iran. When you think about Islamic State, they started in Raqqa. They set their headquarters up in Mosul. Now, they haven't gone after Raqqa quite yet. The Israelis are watching that very closely because they want to know what Iran is doing, and Iran is under the guise of trying to go after Islamic State there in Iraq, there in Syria. Over in Iraq, it's Mosul, and of course, Iraq was able to be ultimately the headquarters for the Islamic State, not really because they wanted to, but because Islamic State took over the banks in Mosul. It was a town at the beginning of the time before the battle started, about 750,000 people. It was mostly in the Kurdistan area. It was, in fact, the capital of the northern part of Iraq where the Kurdistans, the people who want to have a state called Kurdistan, the Kurds, who are the best fighters in the Middle East, they're the ones who have been fighting alongside the Iraqis. And the other element that's fighting up there in Mosul would be Iran. And Iran has sent in some of their elite commandos from the Revolutionary Guard. But in addition to that, one of the outstanding Shiite Muslims in Baghdad is Miqdada Sadr. He has the Mahdi militia, which he calls the Messiah's army. And they're up there fighting to try to win Islamic State from the area of Mosul. Remember, Islamic State represents the Sunni element of the body politic of the Islamic people. And, of course, Iran represents the Shiite element. So the sectarian divide is there. Those battles are going on. And what Iran is doing now, they're trying to reinforce everything in Syria. Iran wants to take control not only of the Iranian revolution that they have in place and the development of a weapon of mass destruction, but they want Syria, and that's why they sent their troops in there to help Bashar Assad, and they want Iraq, and that's why they sent their troops in to help Prime Minister al-Baghdadi there to try to wipe out Islamic State. That's what is happening, the reason for the buildup in the troops.
Dr. Jimmy, there is an interesting headline in the Jerusalem Post. It says this, and I'm quoting, "Enlightening offensive, Iraqi forces carve out strategic corridor from Baghdad to Syria." So this highway or corridor linking Iran's forces in Syria with Iraq and potentially with the Iranian forces on the border with Syria seems to be incredibly strategic. So what is going on here, and what is Israel's thinking with respect to this?
Well, first of all, they have to have the capability of moving their munitions, moving their material, moving their manpower from not only Iraq, David, but also into Syria. And that highway that you're basically talking about is a highway that goes up the Fertile Crescent along the River Euphrates and goes up into the area of Syria. And there they can just jump off the highway and go over to Raqqa, which is the headquarters for the Islamic State up there. Now, as that relates to the Israelis, we've got to understand that not only are they moving in that part of the Middle Eastern geography, but they're also at Israel's northern border there in the Golan Heights on the northern side of the border of Syria and Israel, there in Kenetra. And the Israelis are watching very closely what Islamic State is doing, but at the same time, they're more concerned about Iran and what they may be doing. Islamic State has kind of played against everybody except Israel, because they understand they can be defeated by Israel, especially the ones that are there in Iraq and the ones that are there in Syria and the ones that are there in the Sinai. What they are very much concerned about is the Iranians coming in, and after this recent election in Iran with the Rouhani, the president, being reelected. And by the way, he's a radical. He's no moderate at all. He's a very radical Islamist. He could have only run for president, that being the case. The Israelis are watching what is happening in Syria. It's Syria's northern border. I mean, Israel's northern border, and Syria is a major threat as far as the Israelis are concerned. That's why they have their forces massed at the border there.
Well, Jimmy, you painted the picture really, again, we're going to get more into this, but Israel being surrounded, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of movement on the ground, but the movement on the ground there in Syria and Iraq is also opening up the potential, and I started the program by saying there could, in fact, be a new country come out of this mix and this change that we're seeing. What you tell us about this?
Sam, I've been talking about from the very outset of this battle to recapture Mosul and take it away from Islamic State, rid that city in northern Iraq of Islamic State. And they're pretty successful thus far. Now the Islamic State is reduced to a group of Islamic radicals there in the old town of Mosul, old Mosul itself, which is biblical Nineveh, of course. But the three major groups that have been fighting there have been the Kurds of northern Iraq. It's been the Iraqi military might under the leadership out of Baghdad. And then, as we've been talking about, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard with a number of the Mahdi militia, which is Mikhada Sadars, a radical Islamic cleric, a Shiite cleric there in Iraq. So those have been the three elements trying to get rid of Islamic State up there. The Kurds have a special interest because this is a very oil-rich section of Iraq. The northern third of Iraq, very oil-rich. Mosul used to be the headquarters for the Kurdish people. The Kurds want to have their own state. We kind of mentioned it a few moments ago. It would be called Kurdistan. They want that state. You got to remember, the Kurds are not only in northern Iraq, but they're in Syria, they're in Turkey, they're in Iran itself, and they would all come together under one umbrella, and that would be the state of Kurdistan. We are so close to that happening, it's unbelievable. The political activities unfolding are making that a very viable possibility. But it has great prophetic significance. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and 51, it talks about the destruction of Babylon. Babylon is in Iraq, 58 miles out of downtown Baghdad on the shores of the Euphrates River. Saddam Hussein spent $500 million, $500 million to refurbish Babylon. Babylon's going to be the headquarters for the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the Kurds, it says in Jeremiah 51, verse 11, will be raised up to go against Babylon. The Kurds are the Medes. It says the Medes will be raised up, the spirit of the Medes, to destroy Babylon in the end time. We're seeing that prophecy coming into better focus like never before.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, if you're not excited about all of this, boy, oh boy, wake up, wake up. A lot is happening, and I can confirm what Dr. Jimmy has said. My sources are saying me that a nation called Kurdistan or coming out of their region is closer than we think. Amazing things are happening. Stay with us. We're going to come right back. China and Israel next in prophecy. How do the two link? And Dr. Jimmy will talk to us about how that shows up in prophecy as well.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the news of the day doesn't make sense, as we often say, until you pick up the newspaper or you look at the internet, and then you take and you put the Bible in the other hand. That's really what we try to do in the program here. We bring you the news of the day from a biblical perspective, and I know that we hear from listeners that that's part of the reason why so many are listening to this program and referring it to their friends. We want to do it that way because if we're not telling the truth, then there's no point of spending our time as we are or using your time. But we want to bring you the truth, and so much is happening. It's a really exciting thing to take and connect these dots. And I heard from a listener, faithful listener yesterday, who said, knowing that Dr. Jimmy Young is with us every other Wednesday, said, hey, I'd like to know what he says about China and prophecy. How does China fit into the Middle East? And so I'm going to ask Jimmy that question here right now. And I encourage your listeners, all of you are listening, write to us. Tell us what you are thinking about the program. Pose to us questions just like this, and we'll try to deal with them when we have the appropriate guest. But Jimmy, the Bible talks in Revelation 16:12. It says the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. You were just talking about that up there in Syria, in Iraq, and the water thereof dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. That's the kings of the east. I want to talk to you about that a little bit and have you talk about it. And what ties into that is that as we're speaking, there is a major thoroughfare under construction that extends all the way from China to Moscow to Middle East. It is called the Silk Road. It is a major thoroughfare into Eurasia, Asia into Eurasia. We've talked about it before. It sounds like it could be a highway of kings from the east to some extent. It's not the Euphrates, I know. But with all that being said, things are happening. China is playing a role. How is China biblically, how do they play a role in the Middle East? And put it together with Israel now and what you see happening, if you could.
Sam, let me give just a bit background about what's going on in China today. I have a good buddy at the Pentagon. His name is Colonel Bob McGinnis. He works in strategy there for the military of the United States. And he referred to himself as a China watcher. We're watching China because of what they're developing in. Number one, they own almost all of the United States of America through the loans that they have given to us. Number two, They are quickly becoming the most powerful military power in all of the world itself today. Number three, they're the most populated nation in the world. And number four, and this is a little known fact, the number one nationality of tourists who visit Israel would be the Chinese people. There are more Christians out of China coming to Israel than any other nation in the world, including the United States, including all of Europe. And so you have to recognize that Israel is going to be doing what they need to do to try to develop the commercial ties, especially with the Chinese people. That's what they're doing. They're also developing military ties so they can give weapons to this advancing military power. They're willing to sell their military weapons to China if they need them. At this point, China is not a threat. You're talking about the Silk Road. I've got to tell you, in addition to that, China controls every waterway to every oil-producing nation in the world. China's not any type of a petroleum-producing nation at all. So they have to have the oils from these different nations, mostly Islamic nations, to help them run their whole machine that's going on. Now, that's what is happening today. And we could talk much more about China today, but that is at least enough to get started. As it relates to the verse that you gave us, Revelation 16:12, that is at the end of the tribulation period. And in fact, most likely within the last 6 months of the tribulation period, you have three sets of seven judgments each in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And chapter 8, verse 1, you have the sealed judgment. That'll happen in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. And then in chapters 8 and 9, you have the trumpet judgments. They'll take place at about the midway point and into the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period and extend up to about the 6.5 year of the tribulation period. So now we move into that last 6 months of the tribulation. The reason that is the case, if you look at all the judgments there in chapter 16, the vile judgments, they're so intense that the whole population of the world would be wiped out should the Lord not hold back his hand of judgment on the people. And so that's exactly what he's going to do. Let me tell you what happened before that. Islam will have been wiped out. Ezekiel chapter 38, the Antichrist will have come to power. The revived Roman Empire, political, governmental operation will be in place in Europe and then move to expand across the world. The false religion will have come to power, Revelation 17, and been destroyed. All the world will have taken the mark of the beast at the midway point of the tribulation. Half of the earth's population, and if we're talking about 7 billion, 3.5 billion people will have been killed. But remember, the population of China, India, and the Far East would be almost half of the world's population. So you wipe out half of the rest of the world. You come down to the last 6 months of the tribulation period. You're looking at the fact, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 says, all the nations of the world will gather at Jerusalem. And in fact, that verse following, the verse you gave us, verse 12, in verses 13 to 16 in Revelation chapter 16, it's talking about Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, the satanic trinity, raising up signs, wonders, and miracles to bring all the kings, out of the east, the Far East, into Israel. Babylon has already been wiped out at the beginning, but the Euphrates River is still in operation. The Euphrates River is a natural border between the Middle East and the Far East. It will be dried up. And by the way, Tayyip Erdogan did shut down the Euphrates River with 21 dams he has on it a couple of years ago, and everybody below him went livid because they had no water to sustain life. He turned the dams open, and they put the water of the Euphrates back there for all of these to do it. But it'll be dried up, and that natural border will be where the Far East, and we're talking about China, India, all of the Koreas, Japan, all of these people, we're talking about half the population of the world, will come into Jerusalem at the time of the campaign of Armageddon when Jesus Christ is going to come back. That's the scenario That's the part that China plays in the future. All of that is being put together. And a part of what's happening right now is that the Christian community in the underground church in China is involved in a campaign called Return to Jerusalem. Got to remember, Christianity moved out from Jerusalem, went to the West, went over into Asia Minor, went to Europe, went to the United States.
All right, Jimmy, I'm going to have to interrupt because we want to go to prayer here before we go, and I know you don't have much voice. So I'm going to go to Dave and ask Dave to pray for all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that this at least whetted your appetite. Pray quickly, Dave, and we'll go on with the program.
Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard today. It's beyond exciting for those of us who know you as Savior. I pray, Lord, for those who do not yet know you, that they, Lord, would hear and understand their desperate need of you, or they will be a participant in this seven-year tribulation, this time of incredible, incredible hell on earth, as it were. Father, I pray we that know you would reach out like never before with the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for with us today, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Until we come back tomorrow, 23 hours from now, stand in the gap for truth where you are. God bless you. Stand strong.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.